The words that we considered, among others, this morning from the first institution of the Lord's Supper, we find in Matthew 26, verses 28 and 29. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I would draw your consideration to this final proposition, this claim of our Lord Jesus Christ respecting not the past history of redemption, which at that point was still immediately before Christ and his disciples, that is, the cross and the resurrection. But he bids them, and he bids us, not only to look back to the cross, but to look forward to another, indeed, the final consummate moment of redemption, when he will drink the fruit of the vine new with us in the Father's kingdom. I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I would like us to consider the drinking anew of the wine in the kingdom of heaven. This drinking anew from the cup, the fruit of the vine in kingdom come. First of 2 points, this wine is a foretaste of that drinking anew. It is a foretaste of that drinking anew. We commonly say that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. It is a very solemn dinner, to be sure. And it is not a meal that in the first case, by any means, is designed to fill us and to nourish our bodies. It is a sacrament. It is the part for the whole, the symbolic ritual of giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment that his death is shown forth. But it was a celebration, and it is a celebration to us, of redemption that has been fully wrought. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Israel of old, at least the true Israel of God, waited and longed for the coming of the Messiah. And those who were truly Abraham's seed understood that it was not a temporal, outward deliverance, merely the conquest of the land of Canaan and the living in houses that they did not build and partaking of those orchards of olives and of the fruit of the vine, which vines they never planted themselves. No, it was so much more than that. The promise was that the Lord, Psalm 130, would deliver Israel from all his iniquities. And so Jesus was given that name. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And of course, we have that great master prophecy of Isaiah 53, in which the Messiah, yes, he conquers, to be sure, but he conquers through suffering. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so Christ in the cross has wrought a full and perfect redemption for us, his people. He, by his shedding of blood, washes away all our sins so that they are removed as far as the east is from the west. And so your conscience, Christian, let it be quieted once and for all. There is no more accusation. The law no longer thunders at you. The fear of death has lost its menacing gaze. The fangs have been torn out. And so though we sleep as Christians, our death is not death. Because he died, we live. And he did this all willingly, in conformity with the counsel of peace, the covenant of redemption in eternity past, where the Father commanded the Son and decreed that he should save a people. And the Son, he says, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And so though the agony and the torment were just about to unfold for the Savior, the floodgates, the dam was to be broken open and unleashed upon the Christ and his own disciples. They scatter in panic and confusion. This was a celebration. This is my body, which is broken for you. It is broken. It's already done. It's as good as done. And by the breaking of this body, you shall not be broken. You shall be healed. You shall be restored. Indeed, you are restored. That by this wine symbolizing and sealing my blood, which is soon to pour forth from this broken body, it cleanses you and by faith justifies you. And so we celebrate redemption accomplished. But this celebration, this partaking of the fruit of the vine, looked forward to the fulfillment of everything that was yet to come to pass. He had to draw many sons to glory. He had to perfect them and sanctify them and bring them at length to himself. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will raise him up at the last day, which agrees with what we heard this morning, that he lays down his life that he may take it again, that he may, of his own power and authority, raise himself up, and in raising the head, so all the members will rise up as well. But not yet. And so we do this as oft as we drink it in remembrance of him and in confidence that the work that he has begun will come to its full and its final fruition. I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Indeed, this is a celebration of grace that one day will ripen into glory. So this wine, both for them and for us, is also a foretaste of something that is even better. Compared to the Old Testament, we live in a much better time, a much better covenant founded upon better promises. But we haven't even begun to see all the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And so as we drink of the fruit of this vine, we look back to what has been accomplished, but also to what will come to pass and be perfectly consummated in the Father's kingdom. So our first point, we have just considered that this wine is a foretaste of that drinking anew in kingdom come. The second point that I would ask us to consider takes us somewhat into the realm of speculation. I would like to suggest some sacred speculations about this drinking of the vine anew in the Father's kingdom. Now, the pattern that the apostles have laid for us is to teach all things that Christ has taught. And it is a solemn responsibility not to add or to subtract from anything that He has revealed. Go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. But we have at least one instance where the Apostle Paul, in the giving of the revelation of God, inserted something of his humble opinion, one might say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in treating ethical questions concerning the roles of husband and wife and intimacy within marriage under different circumstances, he is careful to indicate what the Lord speaks and reveals, and then also what his own judgment is. I speak this now, at one point, by permission and not of commandment. Or to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. And so much of what follows is submitted to you for your consideration. Be Bereans and test all things. But I do think there is a place for sacred, not unholy speculation. I think the difference can be understood in that we are tentative where we are not certain, where we respect other legitimate views that have some basis in the text, and we don't die on a hill for these things. Now, the Trinity, that is not such a matter that is open to debate and suggestion. But I would submit for your consideration that in some sense, when our Lord says that He will drink of the fruit of the vine new with His disciples in the Father's kingdom, that there is very much of a literal element to it. It's my personal opinion, and it is somewhat tentative, and I respect others, other good men who may not perfectly agree with me on this particular point, but it's my view that the future ultimately involves this earth. That, yes, we will die and go to heaven, our souls will go to be with Jesus, but on the last day, our bodies will be raised up with Christ physically. And as I see it, heaven and earth will be, in a sense, reunited, and we will be with God, with Christ, in a new heavens and in a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and that in some real sense, what Jesus is saying is not mere figure, but there will be some meaningfully literal sense in which we will drink of the fruit of the vine on the day when he will inaugurate the Father's kingdom. Now let's start with some certainties about the new fruit of the vine, the drinking anew of the fruit of the vine. We always want to start with what's certain and clear. That's the most important principle of interpretation. Never try to start with uncertain places of Scripture and interpret others in that light, but rather the other way around. So let's start with some certainties. It is certain that in the Father's kingdom, and when we say the Father's kingdom, we're not talking about what is often called the intermediate state. The intermediate state is the time that you and I, when we die, our bodies go to the ground and our spirits go to be with God and be with Jesus in heaven until he comes again and raises us all in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And so we shall be physically, bodily, and visibly with Christ. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We shall be with him. Right now, we don't see him. But he is physically at the right hand of God. That's what we confess. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he prays in John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now when we die, we will be with him. Paul says this is a far preferable state of existence. I'm torn between the two options, the one to stay here, which is profitable for others, but to go and be with Christ, that's far better. But whether or not this particular text, at least in John 17:24, is only speaking of the intermediate state, or perhaps also includes the Father's kingdom, it's clear that there is a time at the very end, the great end of all ends, when there is no further history to be written but the unfolding of the ages, where death has been swallowed up in victory, where every tear is wiped from every eye, and where we shall have no need of the light of the sun, because the Lamb is the light thereof. Now that's certain, that we will be physically, bodily, and visibly with Christ. In some sense, in some real sense, however different it is, we do not know. There is certainly a difference in the resurrection body compared with the body in which we now live, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. But it is fundamentally the self-same body. It's also clear that there is some continuity between the feast that we have at the Lord's Supper and the feast that we will have in glory. There's some meaningful continuity. It cannot be pure figure or metaphor, or else the words of Jesus would make little sense and would certainly be of no reassurance. I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. How could it possibly give any solace to disciples who are hearing that Jesus is going away. Well, take heart. We'll be together again. In some meaningful sense, there will be continuity between the two tables. And that feast will be far better than any other feast we have had in this world. And it will be far better than the feast that we have just enjoyed today. So whatever we lose, and I don't know exactly what we lose, it will be more than made up for the glories of being at that table. So these are some certainties about drinking anew the fruit of the vine. I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, now, some possibilities, and we simply leave it at that, some possibilities, if not probabilities, about that table and that wine, that new wine that we shall drink in kingdom come. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. We may literally recline at the table, at a table in some sense, in the bodily local presence of Jesus. After all, we shall be with Christ, and on that day we shall be bodily with Christ. He who has risen will be with those whom he has raised. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. We shall also bodily be with all the redeemed saints. Bodily. If we all are raised in glory, though sown in dishonor, and we are gathered together where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. When you see in the sky all those vultures, you know that there is a carcass somewhere. Well, they come and they descend and they come together to feast. And so observe that very precious gospel text involves the second person plural. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you plural unto myself, that where I am, there ye plural may be also. It's not just going to be us and Jesus sequestered and apart. We're going to be together in some meaningful way. And if we're raised again with physical bodies in some sense, we come together and we are together with Christ. And if there certainly shall be physical persons together, one of whom is the most glorious Lord, the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ, shall there not be a physical space in which they shall come together? Shall we perhaps sit down together in some sense with physical bodies around a table with recognizable saints? And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And does not Jesus indicate, I will drink this new with you in my Father's kingdom? As we do here, so shall we do then. May we perhaps quite literally partake of the fruit of the vine in some real and meaningful sense. The ancient prophecies, yes, they used very flowery, poetic, figurative language, but at the bottom of all figures is concrete reality. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. So that something of the enjoyments that we had in this life will carry over and be perfected in the presence of all the glorified saints and above all our great host and Savior Jesus Christ. That whatever is taken away or superseded will be no great loss to us, because something of the essence of what was shall be there in glory, even as our bodies, recognizable bodies. That whatever we do at the table there, whatever that looks like, that we will have fond reminiscences of coming together at this table, looking back and seeing it all now perfected. And that even these bodies have been most preciously laid to rest and then aroused on the blessed day. Come to the supper, come to the supper. Come and feast. Feast with your great host, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't Jesus say, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom? I would at least suggest that some literal fulfillment is in view. Keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ intentionally ate with his disciples after his resurrection, so that in the words of Chrysostom, he would then drink with the apostles that none might suppose his resurrection a fantasy. That even as Christ ate again with that glorified body that in some way was clearly different, so different that there was some reason not fully to understand who it was for a time, but yet it is the Lord. Peter, it is the Lord. And he says, come and dine. Come and dine. Not in some ethereal world, so very far removed and remote from all your experience, but in something that is familiar and precious and valuable, only infinitely more blessed. May we perhaps be celebrating in our new home a new heavens and a new earth, purged by fire and yet made new, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, there are certain things I would not want to suggest, or at least be very strong about, perhaps not as strong in an opinion, which is one opinion among others. But I do not want to suggest that our consumption of food and drink will carry over exactly into the new heavens and new earth in the kingdom of heaven. or that it will function in the same way. I think that's one of the reasons why many of our forefathers were rather apprehensive about suggesting that there would be any need of true food or drink in the coming kingdom of glory, because much of the whole process in our experience seems so very unworthy of it. I would not want to suggest that our very digestive organs will continue to serve in the same way. Perhaps they shall even be abolished. Paul says elsewhere, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Perhaps they shall be renovated and refashioned. There's much that we don't know in terms of what happened at the fall, the reconstitution of fallen bodies. We don't know a lot of things that happened in paradise, and so there's an awful lot that is left to, I trust, a measured speculation, but we don't want to go too very far lest we transgress the limit that God has laid down for us, not to pry into hidden things. And I am not necessarily suggesting that the natural order of food production and preparation will be the same. But whatever the case, we shall be changed, and this earth shall be changed, but we shall fundamentally be the same, and the earth shall fundamentally be the same. Even as the Lord of glory, raised again from the dead, was not raised with a different, but with the selfsame body with which he was crucified. Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. There is a fundamental identity. I recently went back to one of my boyhood homes in South Florida this week, and I came down that street. Now things had changed. They had repainted the house. There was new pavement in the front yard. It looked nice, but it was my old house. It sure was nice to come home. And friends, I think there is something about that future kingdom that is coming home. Back to the Father's house. We shouldn't have left to start with. But it pleases God to put this earth under the dominion of man. And now that he has fallen under the dominion of the second Adam, the last man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the heir of all things, the heir of the world, all things shall be placed under his footstool, and he shall receive all glory. But whatever the case with respect to these possibilities, let us turn our attention and focus on what is certain and central, that the glory of the Father's kingdom will be with being with Christ. Because if we had everything that we were meant to have, if everything like Job of old was restored to us and tenfold, if Christ was not there, it would be a living hell for the saints of God. But that's the good news. Although I personally think that Christ will not transport us into a heaven that is wholly unrecognizable, and that what the Psalms and what he himself said is to be understood in some literal sense, the meek shall inherit the earth, that what is most important is that wherever we are, whatever shape it takes, is that we're with Him. And partaking of the fruit of the vine anew with Him. So we drink in remembrance. We drink also in surrender. Surrender to a period of waiting and of difficulty and of striving and sometimes of exhaustion. Sometimes we grow weary in well-doing. Oh, but do not lose your spirit, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. Jesus has left us, and He has gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we shall be also. And we shall celebrate Him anew in His Father's kingdom. And let us drink of the fruit of the vine in hope that He will finish that good work that He began. Don't lose heart, O Christian. Edward says that new wine is especially that joy and happiness that Christ and His true disciples shall partake together in glory, which is the purchase of Christ's blood, or the reward of His obedience unto death. That's certain, friends. That's the anchor. The anchor holds fast. Hold to the anchor, Christian. I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Please rise. Oh Lord, we would be as a child weaned of its mother, quietly and contentedly receiving Thy truth. We pray Thee that Thou would give us that hope and renew that hope, that as we go forth refreshed from this table, that we would go forth looking to that great celebration, that glorious feast that awaits us in kingdom come. Remember us now, we pray Thee. We ask all of this, not for our sakes, but for Thy great glory. Amen. You may be seated.